This is Reverend Dr. Donald Fischel from Valley View, Pennsylvania. I'm a United Methodist pastor. I've been serving in the United Methodist Church for approximately 25 years. I enjoy serving in the local church as a local church pastor. I've been involved in all kinds of ministries of healing and teaching and preaching and whatever, but I've had some wonderful experiences with the Lord over the years. One of the experiences I might share with you today, it has to do with a young lady when I was a student serving at a church in Dover, Pennsylvania. I read in the newspaper one evening about this young lady who had been found along the Interstate 83, who had been hit and run, and she had been taken to the Polyclinic Hospital in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where they had worked with her for quite some time, spent an awful lot of money, had diagnosed her as a quadriparaplegic. As a young man, without medical knowledge, not too much at least, I didn't understand what a quadriparaplegic was. And my first instinct was I should go to this, let me say, first of all, they took her from the hospital, and having done all that they felt they could do and afford to do with her at the emergency situation in that hospital, they felt it was the county's responsibility. So they brought her back to York County, where I was serving a local church as a student pastor in the United Methodist Church. And they took her to the county home and dropped her off with all her records and said, now this is your responsibility. When I read about this, I had an instinctual or intuitional feeling in myself to go and talk with her. But then I said to myself, no, this is you playing God, a Messiah complex kind of thing. And I really sort of backed off from that. But I continued throughout the week going to school part-time and doing my ministerial duties on the other hand. And as we got closer to the end of the week, a message for Sunday morning would not come through for me. And as a result of that, I just felt convicted of the Holy Spirit that I had to go and see this woman. And so I went to the nursing home, the York County Nursing Home, and I first of all went to see the nurse to find out whether I was permitted to go and visit this woman, because I really didn't understand the dynamics. And so I asked the nurse if I could visit her, and if I could, was there anything that I might say that would cause her psychological damage insofar as pastoral visitation was concerned? And she assured me that this was a physiological handicap rather than a mental one, although it certainly had its effect on the mind when you're depressed and down and crippled like this poor dear soul was. She was unable to move from the neck down. And even her saliva glands, she had lost control of those, sort of a thickened tongue, and she wasn't really able to speak very well at all. And we were not able to communicate too well. My first visit with her, I'll just use her name and call her Kay. I went to her, and the words that came out of my mouth were these: Kay, I just came to visit you. It's not important to you, really, who I am, but the important thing that I have to tell you is that God sent me to visit with you, to encourage you and to tell you that He is going to be glorified through this experience and that you are going to be healed. And I did not spend much time that evening with her, but I did pray for her and for her healing, and I left. And at that moment, and probably till the next time I got back, there was no real dramatic change in her, any noticeable change of any healing. But the nurses continued to work with her, and all the churches began to pray for her. And I would like to say at this point, for this reason, I can't take any one specific bit of credit for this, nor would I want to. I'm just happy that I can share the experience. But I did continue to visit with her, and one of the ladies in my church asked me that if, when I go to visit her again, could she go along? And when we went the next time, I invited Irma, one of my members, to go with me, and she did. And when we arrived at the hospital, there we found letters and letters and letters, lots of them unopened. And Irma asked her, are these people, do you know these people? And she indicated as best as she could that she did not. And then Irma asked if she could read several of the letters to her. cards, sympathy cards and cards of encouragement. She read them to her, and one after another they were addressed from Oklahoma and Arizona, Japan and Germany, and all over the world these cards came from. And that was a revelation to me that what I'd already told the young lady was that God was going to be glorified throughout the world. And the reason why God was being glorified was because someone had written to a radio preacher, Reverend Theodore Epp, Back to the Bible program, and he had apparently made it known over his radio broadcast that this person needed prayer. And so prayers were being lifted up throughout the world from many different denominations and peoples, Christians all over the world. During that visit, this girl's arms were twisted up to her breast and under her neck. Her fingers almost touched her arms. That's how bad it was. I really felt empathy for her. But I told her that day that I would like to pray her arms back to healing. And she agreed that I asked her permission if I may pray that way, and she agreed to let me do that. And I took first her left arm, not for any one reason. I guess it was just because it was the closest to me and I was on that side of the bed. And I took her arm and her hand and I prayed it back to healing with the power of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we did the same thing with her right arm. And having both arms prayed back to strength and healing, she actually got a hold of the bed and I told her to sit up. And she did. From her waist up, she sat up. That was a miracle of the first bit of evidence of healing in her life and her body at that point. I continued to visit her, and it was at another time she was unable to control this drooling, and they had like a dentist towel under her chin, and the saliva kept flowing. And so I prayed with her that day, the next time I went, for the healing of her saliva glands and the control of her tongue, so that she could gather control and maintain that problem. And she was able, and she was healed there in that area. And then they took her to a rehabilitation center over in Reading, Pennsylvania, and I believe it's operated by the Seventh-day Adventists. In fact, I've been there since I've been moved to where I presently serve, and it's an outstanding rehabilitation center. And I certainly believe in those places because they do wonderful work for people who are paralyzed and who have difficulties in those areas. And they continue to work with her. And because I was a student minister, my time certainly was limited in what I could do and how far I could go to visit and so forth. But I just trusted that she was in the hands of God and was on her way. And we continued to pray for her from our church. The next thing I knew, she had been returned to the county nursing home. And the reason I knew that was because I saw in the headline on the front page of the York Dispatch at that time, the newspaper of the county, or the city of York, this young woman walking by herself out of that nursing home with leg braces. But praise be to God, that woman was able to be rehabilitated, be healed, and come back to life and be a human being in a way that she may never have been able to do without the power of prayer. And so really that's the story in that particular situation. I've never been able to, you know, I never maintained contact with the young woman or anything of that nature, but I'm satisfied that she was healed by the miraculous power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe really and truly that any person who really puts their faith and trust in God can receive healing. It may not always be physical healing, but there is healing. Healing of the mind and healing of the spirit to give us encouragement and strength even to do that which we might not otherwise normally do. Another experience at that particular church was with a gal who was only 16 years old. She was actually 15 and she was going to celebrate her 16th birthday in a week. She had sickness on Monday, and she had terrible pain, and the doctor said it was a flu virus. By Friday, she was in the hospital with peritonitis. She had appendicitis, and her appendix had burst, and she had peritonitis. And so when they operated, she was in a 50-50 situation, life or death. Being a student, again, I'm still a student at this particular church in Dover, Pennsylvania, United Methodist Church. I had just arrived there shortly, maybe 6 months, and I really didn't know her family too well. They were business people, And yet they had not been in regular attendance, and I did not want to make a bad impression, if you will, on that new family. I didn't want to come across too religious, being a young man and feeling my way at this point. I didn't want them to think I was some kind of a fanatic. That was my own fear. I know that now. But then, that's where I was. And so I would go in and go through the motions of ministry, pray prayers with her, and then leave. And yet, I felt in my soul and my spirit that if I did not confront this girl with the possibility of a miraculous healing and anoint her with oil, she might die and I might be held responsible and accountable to God for that. So one Saturday morning, or Friday morning it was, a week later, she remained in this state for a whole week, and they were shooting penicillin, from my understanding, right in the open wound there, because it was just open flesh and it was laying open. And it was Friday. And I went to see her that morning, and I went in early, because I thought, I'm going to get in there early, and her parents won't be there, and then I can deal with her. But when I arrived, her parents were there, and there I am all over again. And yet I had the conviction of the Holy Spirit that I've got to do this today, or it may be too late. And so I said to her, I said, Vicki, do you believe that God can heal you from this experience? She said, yes, I do. I said, would you permit me to anoint you with oil? And I explained to her the anointing of oil from James chapter 5. Is anyone among you sick? He should call the elders of the church, and they will rub oil on you and pray for you. And the sins that you have committed, you will be forgiven of, and you will be healed. So at any rate, and that scripture may not be, I may not have quoted it 100% there, but it's there in chapter 5. And so I got my bottle of oil out, and I anointed her with oil, and then I laid my hands on her. And I prayed for her healing. But before I did that, I asked her this. I said, Vicki, I said, I really believe you're going to be healed. But I said, when do you want to go home? Now, you got to realize this girl's laying open. She said, Monday, this is Friday. I laid my hands on her and prayed for that healing. And I felt the power of the Spirit moving in my body all the way through, like an electricity. I felt that. She felt it too. Not always does that happen. Not always do people feel that, but I felt it, and she felt it that day. But I prayed the prayer, and I left. Shortly after I left, everything, all the disease and all that gangrene, that gangrenous color, left her body through her bowel movement. Okay, she just excreted it. And on Monday, that girl was home for her birthday party. It's the kind of a miracle you know has to be a miracle, because it couldn't happen any other way. There's no way that a person could grow back together that soon. It just doesn't happen. Not from a disease, not from an illness like that girl had. And I saw the wound, and I smelled the contacts of it. But so, that was another one of those kinds of situations where I've been involved in a miraculous healing. And certainly that's been an encouragement to my faith.
When you get this feeling of to visit people, it's an inside feeling that you just can't let go.
Right, exactly. It's,
I've described that correctly.
Yeah, it's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's what it is. It's like, you better go and do what you got to do. I mean, I just can't lay it down. It's like knowing you have to have a tooth pulled, and you better go get it pulled, because if you don't, you're going to have a toothache for the next 6 weeks, And it's that kind of an urgency there. I had a lady in a church in Cabin John, Maryland. When she went to the doctor, she had to have a polyp removed, okay? And I had her on my mind and in my heart, and I prayed for her and so forth before she went to the hospital or to the doctor's appointment. I'm not sure whether they did this surgery in the doctor's office or whether it was outpatient surgery. And this is when I was serving a student appointment yet, as I was working my way through seminary at Cabin John, Maryland. And let me use the name Jane here. But she had gone to the doctor, and she reported back to me that the doctor came up with a good report and everything was clean. But the problem was, that night, I had a dream. And I saw her coming down the steps, and I was at the bottom of the steps. And the thought that the conversation was that I told her that there was one cell of cancer. And I said, I don't know how to tell you this, and I don't want to sound crazy or fanatical. And I said, you know, I don't know what to say here, but I don't want to scare you. But I said, that was the dream I had. And I said, that isn't the kind of dream you want to dream in a positive way, but that's what dream was there. And sure enough, the doctor called her, and he said when they did the lab report, they found a cell of cancer. And they wanted to do chemo or x-ray, I forget which, but they did the radiation therapy or the chemotherapy, whichever, on her. She lives today and never has had any reoccurrence of cancer at all. But it's just kind of interesting how those kind of things, just one cell, and it was verified by the doctor in the lab report. I can't explain those unusual phenomena, but they do happen.
There's two questions I have to ask you. When in your life did you start to feel that you were God's instrument, that this was happening through you?
My father was also a cripple. At age 19, he was a 6-foot-tall man. I didn't know this, I never knew my father was a cripple practically until he died. But he was, he got some kind of a spinal disease working in the clay mines and the ore mines, and it crippled his back. He walked around like this. And he was a very violent, bitter, angry man, and I never knew why there either. He had nothing to do with the church, nothing for the church. He ran the preachers away that would come to visit and all that kind of stuff. So anyhow, my younger brother explained to me that my daddy must have been very angry at God, and surely someone must have said, you committed some kind of sin, and so therefore, you're probably being punished by God for the sins you committed, and this is your punishment. Back in those days, they used to talk like that. I certainly don't believe that. I don't believe that God punishes us in those ways. Certainly there's disease in the world, and some of us are afflicted by diseases that we have no control over, just like the people today who get AIDS. You know, the hemophiliacs, they're not responsible for the disease they get. They didn't commit any sin to deserve that, but there they are. So that I suspect had some connection with my desire to see people healed, to help people, to have empathy toward them. To want to see them well. And then I was 21 or 22 years old before I had a conversion experience. And it was, for me, a traumatic conversion experience. It was at a Billy Graham's crusade in Philadelphia. So I'm one of those persons that got up out of the audience and went forward. And there and again, I felt definitely the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon my life. I wanted to stay, and I wanted to go. I didn't want the people who I went with to know that I was a phony, although inside of me I knew that. He presented the gospel to me in such a way that I never had before been presented. And so when he said that, you know, if you know for sure inside your life that if you died tonight you weren't going to heaven, then you need to be here, I got up finally and went down front. And I asked my pastor to walk with me, and he did. That was the beginning of my new faith in Christ. And it was 3 years later that I had a call into the ministry in a secular situation in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So from then on, I've been working my way on.
When you have these experiences and you lay hands on people and so on, as I understand it, a lot of times you don't know anything has happened.
Right.
And there are other times that you had a solid feeling.
Exactly. You feel.
Would you tell me about that a little bit?
I've seen a lot of different people that I've laid hands on who have been miraculously healed and healed of their diseases that I haven't really felt any indication that they were being healed. And yet, on the other hand, I'm not sure who I read somewhere. It's a little bit, I guess, on the mystic side, the Eastern religions. I'm not sure who. I can't remember. But I do remember the person saying about you have to take yourself outside of yourself and become nothingness. Now, that's Eastern religion, I know that. But it's not that foreign and contrary to Jesus in the sense that he said that first you have to deny yourself, then take up your cross and follow me. He who would exalt himself will be humbled, and he who would humble himself will be exalted. I'm not interested in the exaltation. But I do know that you have to empty yourself. You can't have your own self involved there in the sense of, what am I going to get out of this?